did a show. I'm getting really good at this crap. Guys, I am so excited about this episode today. I was very nervous to talk to Matt. Matt Huntley, a director and a writer of the acclaimed short movie Lobster. I mentioned it to you guys before, and I finally got him on the show, and it was a wicked interview. The guy is awesome. The guy is a very nice soul, and I was so nervous. But he went like a treat, you know. He even mentioned that he wants to keep in touch. Will you believe that? Maybe it would just be nice. No, I really believe he wants me to keep in touch. And I find myself a friend there, because he's an awesome guy. He's a very nice voice. Just a really cool dude, you know. I'd like to go and pay him a pint at some point. But anyway, Matt Huntley. Right, he's a wonderful director of the short movie called Lobster, which I really enjoyed, and I discovered it on my way from London to Birmingham on a train that I wasn't supposed to take, so it was a mistake on my part. But because I was bored, I was looking and then there was a sort of sign saying there was entertainment on board, so with Wi-Fi. So I logged in, and welcome page saw movies and short movies. So I went straight to short movies, you know, so interesting. And I don't know, it was about 20 short movies, and I managed to watch all of them during the 1.5 hour journey to Birmingham. And I was just laughing to myself at some of them, and people were looking at me funny, thinking, "The fuck is he doing?" But anyway, I love I love Lobster. I love the narrative, the cinematography. It's shot in England, actually in I forgot the name. It's down in London, something. Anyway, you find out later on. Yeah, the photography, the cinematography is great. The grading, the views is great. As you said, you know, somebody said in the interview, the cinematography itself is an actor in that movie. But anyway, the movie is only 5 minutes long, and the link is in the show notes. I honestly recommend you to watch it. 5 minutes of your time, and I think you will love it, and you will enjoy it and laugh out loud like I did. So I could not thank him enough to be on the show. He just had a little girl, so she was sleeping on his lap. So we tried to be quiet. So at the beginning, it is a bit quiet on the voice side, but it becomes a bit more gradually better towards afterwards. So, you know, it's bear with us at the beginning if it's not hard, but I'm going to boost something on the post right now. But, you know, that is that. So I just mentioned that, and I apologize in advance. Matt studied graphic design and photography. Don't know what I said, photograph, as a degree, I'm guessing. But he studied that, and he worked as an assistant director on This Is England. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a great piece of work. He's also worked on lots of projects, and actually his commercials. That's where he gets his real money from. But from Barclays, Vodafone, Budweiser, Fiat, Samsung, and many more, to name a few. Matt also directed Trimming the Fat, starring Matthew Horn from Giving and Stacey. I know I've heard of them, but I never watched Giving and Stacey for BBC Films. And he wrote and directed Straw Donkey, starring Joe Thomas, and the guys from The Inbetweeners. And that, again, I haven't seen that one either, so I cannot tell you what it is about. I ask Matt a few questions, but let's get on straight to it, and let's welcome Matt Huntley to the show.
Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's an honor, actually. Second to thank you for the wonderful short movie Lobster that I had the delight to see when I was on the journey from London to Birmingham about a month ago.
Okay, where did you see it?
It was on the entertainment on board the train, the London Express train. Hello?
Sorry, it's an email.
And it was by mistake because I didn't supposed to take that train. So if I did actually didn't take that train, I probably would have not come across it. And it was part of the entertainment with like loads of short movies, and I've managed to watch most of them. But yours was one of the first ones that I saw, and I must say it was fantastic.
Fantastic! Thank you very much.
Honestly,
I'm getting to see it.
I was going to ask you a few questions about it. Actually, I mean, how many awards did you win? I counted 15. Is that did you? I mean, how many stands today?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the total. It's done really well. I mean, it's been playing for about 18 months at festivals. I think it's played about 40 festivals, maybe.
Wow, awesome.
And it's won. Yeah, it's won. It's nice because it's won some audience awards, which are always really good to get. So yeah, it's been good.
Did you expect that much fame? I mean, that much turnout for this?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a really nice film, and then the fact that the cast is quite well known. I mean, especially in the UK, the two guys, Steve Oram and Terry Miner, are really well known here. So I thought that it would kind of find some traction because of that.
All right.
It's done. Kind of people either seem to really like it or not like it at all.
You're from England, right?
Yeah, from London.
From London. So when did you decide, or when did you knew that you wanted to be a director, Matt?
I think when I really young, like in my teens, but I never really knew what directors did. I kind of thought, you know, I grew up in the 80s and I kind of watched, you know, Spielberg and Lucasfilms and same as everyone else. And I assumed that there was like five guys in Hollywood that just made those films. And then as I got older and I went to art school, and I thought I was going to be an illustrator.
Right.
She used to draw all the time. And then I went to art school and I kind of discovered that I wasn't anywhere near as good as I thought I was.
Right.
I did kind of graphic design and photography.
Yeah.
And just learned more about like filmmaking, and then realized that there was commercials and music videos were then really, really, you know, getting really big. People like Spike Jonze, Chris Cunningham and Gondry.
Wow.
And so I thought, maybe I could get into doing that. Right. So I left art school and came back to London. And just started working as a runner, and I ended up working for Chris Cunningham.
Wow.
I worked for Ridley Scott's company for a bit, and then I got onto set and worked as a runner and assistant director and kind of did everything. Wow. And just learned how that, you know, the advertising industry works, and then started trying to shoot little music videos and test commercials and things.
Wow.
A lot of it was terrible. And then did kind of enough bits to have a reel, and then I got signed about 9-10 years ago.
Right.
And I've kind of been working, you know, for the most part, the last 10 years directing.
Wow.
Sometimes really busy, sometimes not busy at all. It's a tough industry.
That's amazing. What kind of age did you start to be a runner when you decided to come back to London?
I think I was about 23, right, something like that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you had a part-time job at the start, or you just went straight in, and that was all your money coming in?
No, I just did that. I mean, I was lucky because I grew up in London and my parents lived here. Mm-hmm. So when I came back from art college, I was broke. Right. As everyone does. So I lived with them for about a year or so. Mm-hmm. And then I could just take the train into town.
Okay.
To be a runner, but I kind of worked pretty solidly. I mean, the money wasn't great,
right,
but it was enough to live on. And then I then, you know, this is like 20 years ago, rent was really cheap, so I then moved out and I could afford to rent somewhere in town.
All right, so you've earned your stripe from the bottom up, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. All so right. I kind of always did that, running or just something, you know, location scouting or art department, or it was always something that you could, a job that you could get on, you know, and earn not great money, but enough. And then when I started kind of assistant directing and I produced a bit, production managed, then actually earned quite good money doing that. Oh. And then took a massive drop to start directing.
Right. That sounds awesome. That's probably going to end up to the question of what you would say to inspire people to do what you do today. But that would be a bit later on. Let's go back to Lobster right now. You mentioned the idea was from your summer holidays, personal crushes that you had when you were a kid on a summer camp. Is that right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm sure most people had that when they were teenagers. Yeah. You would go on holiday. I used to go out to Spain a lot when I was a kid on holiday, uh-huh. My family. And you would kind of see girls and,
yeah.
You know, by the pool or on the beach, and you get obsessed and you kind of fantasize about what would happen.
Yeah.
You were together, you know, and you're always too scared to do anything about it.
Of course, yeah.
That was, seemed quite universal. And I've weirdly spoken to people about it. Say, oh yeah, I used to do that. Kind of gazing at someone across the pool.
Yeah, I think that's why I love this so much, because I saw myself in there.
Yeah, and then I thought that was just funny if you to have that, but have it be like a middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
And then because I just always wanted to try and make a film in that location. I just love those caravan parks on the coast, especially the south coast of England.
Yeah, yeah.
To spend a lot of time out when I was a kid, and they look amazing. And it's weirdly the only kind of quite cinematic
I know.
Part of the UK, because I don't find the UK very cinematic, really. compared to like Paris or New York or Tokyo, Italy. You know. The UK is kind of quite a dull place, but the seaside resorts are quite run down, and there's sort of like a faded glamour about them. So those two things kind of came together, and then that little idea.
So it was something that was in your head, the back of your head, for quite some time when you actually decided to actually get on and actually film Lobster. How did you?
I think the actual script I wrote really quickly.
Okay.
About a year before, I've been trying to write something for a few years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the script came together pretty quick, and then we actually ran out of summertime the year before, and so we sort of had to wait a year to shoot it the next summer.
Right, right.
And that kind of gave us a bit more time, because it cost a bit of money, which stuff the producer paid for, so we sort of had to save a bit of money to do that.
Right. Because I was going to say, how many drafts did you do? Was there quite straightforward with the script?
It was pretty straightforward, yeah. Mm. As I said, the idea kind of came together really quickly that it was going to be a fantasy in this guy's head. And as it went on, the camera work would kind of become more erratic, and then you would jump back to reality at the end, which is
a
sort of twist.
It's awesome.
I think three or four drafts, and then obviously it's all in voiceover, so after we cut it to kind of a guide track, had Steve Oram come in do the voiceover again. Yeah. And I think we kind of rewrote some, especially the end, kind of when he gets really angry at the end.
There
was a lot of we had him do a sort of three or four versions, and then we kind of cut those together a bit around the edit. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty straightforward.
Okay. And How about the filming? How long did that take? Because I know the film is it's just over 5 minutes, but an actual filming time, how does that turn out to be?
So we shot it was 2 days.
2 days, all right.
Yeah, so we went down to, I don't know if you know the geography, we went down to Margate, which is in the south coast.
And the Margate.
And then that caravan park, it's a couple of miles inland. It's literally just a caravan park in the middle of loads of fields. It's a really weird place.
Right.
It's people that live there all year round. And the actual, the bar that's in the film, the pub, that was in the middle of the caravan.
Right, okay.
So all those people just kind of live in these caravans, and they go to that pub every night.
Yeah, yeah.
Have dinner, drink.
Didn't drink?
So we didn't, yeah, I mean, it was great. So they were really lovely people.
Yeah.
So we shot there for the first day. And then the second day we did all the other stuff, so the beach and the pool and the field, you know, running through the fields and stuff. So that was all really close by.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, but we had to kind of take like everyone from London, so that's where the money went.
All right, I thought it would take more than 2 days. So yeah, you must have got.
I'm quick.
Yeah, it must have been.
And also, a lot of our crew I used for commercials, so everyone knows. Okay. Commercials,
just have to shoot. I just thought he might take more on that, but amazing. You mentioned you talked Tom Meaton, because of his Birmingham accent, because he's a comedian. So that was something that you already had in mind when you were writing the script, or how did that turn out?
Steve Oram, I think. So Tom Meaton was originally going to play the husband.
Okay.
But he had to drop out at the last minute because he had a job that paid money.
Okay.
Which is fair enough. So Steve Oram plays Mark, the main guy.
So that's the guy that we saw in the movie, yeah?
Yeah. And he's been in films like Sightseers, which is Ben Wheatley's movie, and he's done a lot of stuff. And I just always really liked him.
Yeah.
As an actor. And he has this great voice because he is from the Midlands, which is it's a fantastic accent. quite funny, but it's also can be quite threatening.
Yeah.
So it was, I think it was kind of written for him in mind, I think. And then, Tom Meaton and him were a really good mates in real life and worked together a lot.
Yeah.
So he gave Steve a script and he said he'd do it.
I think he did a great performance, didn't he? I mean, his voice is fantastic as well.
He just won an award for it. Did he? The local, summer. Awesome. The South Bank Best Actor for it.
Totally deserved it. Yeah.
Good casting.
I laughed so much in the train and people were thinking, okay, what the hell are you doing? But because it just made me it was so fun, because I didn't expect the ending to turn out to be like this, you know. I mean, I don't know what I expected, but it just got me. What's you've done commercial that I will mention before we talk, what is your favorite work that you've done so far, like yourself?
My favorite work, I mean, Lobsters is probably
still up there.
Yeah, because it's my kind of sense of humour and everything I wanted to do. And I'd done some short films in the past, and some of them were kind of okay, or they had good bits, but they feel, you know, I wasn't 100% happy with them. So Lobsters, weirdly, I always say to my agent, if I go out for commercials, you should just show Lobsters, because that's what I like to do.
It's a great TV days.
The acting and the tone and the lighting and how I like to hammer if I can. So yeah, that's the thing I'm proud of.
Love the lighting, love the cinematography, love the paste. It's well made. It's just nothing wrong with it, really. You know, I can't really fault it. So you've got any new exciting work similar in the pipeline?
We finished another little short film called Bump. Beginning of the year, which is kind of out and about places, I think. But it has its premiere this Saturday.
Wow. Awesome.
Discover Film Festival in London, so we're going to go and see that. But it's really sweet. It's really short. It's like 3 minutes long. We finished that up this year, and then I just had a baby, so I'm trying to shoot commercials to get some more money and trying to write. We've thought maybe about doing something based on Lobsters. So definitely love to work with those actors again.
Yeah, it sounds like it was fun.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, ideally, the next couple of years, try and get a little low-budget feature film on the ground.
That's awesome. I was going to mention what you would say to inspire young directors in terms of getting advice from you, but I'm guessing it's just do what you do, just get there, get in there and be a runner and then just learn from the trade. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's tricky because some people kind of fall into directing really easily. And sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not, but I think there's so much to learn about that job. It's not just about the creative bit and being on set, but it's learning, you know, how a set works and how you work with people and how the creative process works, and learning the post-production and learning, you know, now you have to learn how to hustle. It's a really tough industry now. There's so many people doing it and so little money around. So I think if you can afford to get in and be a runner or be, you know, get any job in that industry, whether it's art department or camera or locations, whatever.
Awesome.
And just feel it out and see, just learn and talk to everyone, learn what you can.
Yeah.
And just try and take, you know, watch as many movies, read as many books, all that kind of stuff. Just everything you do helps. Travel, I find, helps.
Yeah, travel. There's something that's funny you mentioned also, because I've just finished reading twice Darren Brown, Happiness. And you mentioned the success theory via method. It's 50% energy and 50% talent. And doesn't go without the other. So when you mention you've got a hustle, it's not good enough that you shot something great. You got to pull it out there. So it's something that you had to do yourself as well, right?
Yeah, you do. I mean, we've been lucky with Lobsters. There was a few... a few kind of companies have taken it on. There's a company called PromoFest in Spain who have been putting it to film festivals, which has been great because it saves me money.
Yeah.
They've been kind of paying for it. And then Discover Film here have been really good at kind of getting it out and getting it distributed.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, you do. I mean, things like Instagram, you know, they're kind of the devil, but they but they're really good for just getting your work out. And I've got scripts and emails and things from people around the world off of the back of Lobsters, and people seeing it online, going to my website, seeing Instagram, seeing Facebook. Yeah. But yeah, it's time consuming, but
isn't it? That's a bit more personal now. Do you have any morning routines? I mean, it probably moved a bit since you had a child, but did you have any morning routines before, or do you have any?
I'm a big believer in trying to get some exercise done, which has become harder with a 6-month-old baby. But try and go for a run something seems to wake the body up a little bit. I'm really bad at procrastinating. Like, I sit around and watch Netflix you know, breakfast. I can make breakfast last for like 5 hours.
All right.
So I try and be up, you know, before midday.
As a creative guy, that's pretty good.
Try and be up and dressed and showered before midday. That might help. Otherwise,
awesome.
The day kind of gets away from it.
That sounds awesome. What do you do to relax? Do you meditate? Or what do you do when you want to?
I do a little bit, yeah.
Do you? Okay.
Not strictly meditation, but I try and sometimes have, you know, I mean, if it's 20 minutes, just sit down and, you know, shut my eyes and have a think, or try not to think.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're trying to write, it's so easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that often helps.
But when you mention writing there, when you get to the writer's block, what do you do? I mean, some people say you got to write 1,000 words, and then from these 1,000 words, maybe 100 would be good enough. But you got to go through the 1,900 to come up with the gold. How do you do it? Would you just?
I don't know. It's really hard. I mean, if I get really stuck, I'll try to not work for a day or two. Or try and go to the cinema and see something, but then you often find that whatever you've just watched kind of fills the void, and you go like, oh, that's the film, that's the kind of film I should be making, which is
so
you end up writing, you know, like, oh, I've just written like a Coen Brothers film.
As a director yourself, do you find it hard to enjoy the movie, and rather than actually look at how did this scene, or how they wrote this in the script, do you actually find it very difficult to just enjoy the movie for what it is?
Yeah, if it's a good film, I can completely just enjoy it on face value. If it's bad, I'll kind of start picking it apart. But then also, if it's, you know, all of my favourite films, like most people, you'll sit and rewatch them over and over, and then you watch them on different levels of, you know, how did they do that? How did they do that? How did they get the money to do that? You know, that must have cost a fortune, or there must have been a way that they had some tricks to pull that production together.
Okay. What's any books that you recommend that you're reading lightly, or are you a reader?
I am a reader. Yeah, I read a really good book called The Heretics.
The Heretics. Okay.
The Heretics, and I can't remember who it's by. And I was just looking at my bookshelf, but I think I've lent it to someone. But it's It's a guy who went and kind of investigated loads of different sort of cults and gurus around the world, whether they're kind of Christian or alien based or whatever. It's a really funny look at how people are willing to buy into stuff to make their lives better.
Okay.
Or other way, I see I've just finished David. Do you know David Sedaris?
No, I'm just trying to look it up.
He's an amazing. I mean, he's my favourite writer. I just finished his set of diaries. But any of his books
What's his name again?
David Sedaris, an American.
Sedaris.
And any of his, he's written about 12 books. They're just the funniest, most brilliantly written books.
Sedaris. Oh. Oh yeah, is an American humorist, is that right?
Yeah,
okay, I got in there. Since you're a film director, are you gonna be able to recommend me movies, documentaries or series that you've seen lately, or stuff that you just love?
Where
to start?
I would go with the Coen brothers. I kind of, everything stops with them.
Okay, the Coen brothers. Okay,
but I mean, I'm trying to think what I've seen recently. I'm just about to watch the Breaking Bad movie. I think that comes out tomorrow.
Ah, I can't wait for that.
El Camino.
It's El Camino, yeah.
I watched a great movie last night called Shot Caller.
Shot Caller? I don't know that.
Yeah, which is an American movie, came out a couple of years ago. It's really dark. It's about a guy that goes to prison and kind of gets caught up in a white supremacist gang.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Shot Caller, yeah.
But it's a really... really well-made film, good cast.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Shot, yeah, just very dark.
Did you watch Chernobyl?
Which film? No, I haven't seen it yet. The TV series.
You're in for a treat.
I've heard. Yeah, actually, I know a couple of people that worked on it in the art department.
Oh wow, that's so cool.
They're on it for like 18 months or something crazy.
It's so good. I watched it twice. I love it.
Oh, really?
I know. I'm mad. So series that you love.
Where do we go? I have to go through. Oh, I tell you what, I just watched The Boys on Amazon.
Oh, somebody mentioned that to me.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is it Simon something or Simon? Not for the guy from Hot Shots. Was he in it?
Who's
Simon
Pegg.
That's the one.
No. Oh yeah, he is in it. Yeah. He has a really small role.
Okay. Okay.
But it's kind of like The Watchmen.
All right, it's about superheroes.
Funny, kind of, cool. Yeah, it's like superheroes. It's like as if like Marvel was real.
Okay.
But all of the superheroes were like kind of really bad guys.
It's a bit dark one, yeah. Oh,
it's dark, but it's very funny and it's really well made. I kind of went through that in about 3 days.
Really, I am going to binge drink that one.
Yeah, do that. Or otherwise, you know, like Better Call Saul.
I don't know if I wanted to go with Better Call Saul after Breaking Bad. Was it really worth it?
Yeah, I kind of preferred it to Breaking
really?
Bad.
Really? All right.
Yeah, I think the writing's better.
No way. Is it really? I'm going to give that a try.
You should look at it. And then the other thing, what was I just going to say? Oh, there's a really great show called Patriot, which is on Amazon.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard about it. Patriot.
Which is my favourite, I think it's my favourite show of the last few years.
Yeah.
It's so, so original and so brilliantly made. There's two series and I would watch that above everything else. Patriot.
Wow. I'm definitely going to take you on I love what you do, so I'm going to trust your opinion.
Very much.
Well, I think I've taken enough of your time, and I think I'll let you go back to your daughter. Is it a son, daughter?
It's my daughter. Yeah.
Daughter.
She's
still sleeping.
She's just woken up. I'm going to put her back to sleep.
Oh yeah, that's a good timing then. Matt, it's been fantastic to have you on the show, and
it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for getting in touch and reaching out.
Yes, thank you, and hopefully I'll maybe be able to speak to you in a few years' time.
Of course.
But thanks again for Lobster. It's been a fantastic pleasure to have you on the show.
All right, thanks, Didier.
Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye, man.
Thanks. All right, I'm gonna go, Matt. I've recorded, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you go because I don't want to take too much of your time. But I'll put this together. I'll send you an email with the show, and if anything you don't like, anything you want me to trim out, I'll do that.
I'm sure it's fine. Yeah, I would love to listen to it.
It's been fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right, man.
You're a star.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Stay in touch.
Stay in touch. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Cheers, Didier.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Great guy.
Hi, guys. Thank you for listening to The Diver Show. You can subscribe on iTunes Podcast, on Google Play, and any other platform that you may choose. It's all in the show notes. If you want to connect with me on the social media, you can on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I am usually under the name of Didier Soulier, so that is DidierSoulier. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you soon.